verdad. Mis ojos brillan al pensar en su mirada tan profunda y sin igual.
Welcome back to Cristo the Rock in 100.7, and we have a great topic to cover tonight. I'm Enid Reyes. I'm here with Yvonne Shaddai and a guest, Pastor Jose, that has just moved to Plano from Orlando. So welcome, audience.
Wait. Before our Miami audience gets all upset, he's from South Florida.
From Miami.
They're going to say, what?
Yes, South Florida, and he left the good weather, tropical weather, good weather down there to come up to the heat.
To the desert.
And we've been talking about forsaking your past and not looking through the rear view mirror. And as Yvonne Shaddai was saying, we always think that it is negative past, so we have to move forward. But there's a scripture that I want to share with you in Jeremiah 6:16, and says, "This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls." And I think there's a lot of wisdom in our paths. If we look back, I believe that we are all in a journey. And as Christians, we are in this journey of Christ, of relationship, and I believe that it all builds.
Yes.
We are being trained since if we look back through our lives, it prepares us for our next phase,
right?
Our next step in our lives. And I think that there is no coincidence, and God is always preparing us. So it's important to not overlook the past. What are the lessons that I've learned? In my personal experience, I'm now a director at Lake Point Church, and as I look at all my past experiences, have prepared me for this time, and I believe that what I'm doing there, in gaining wisdom in the new projects and working with the Hispanic ministries and community, who knows? My next task that it will be assigned to me. Needed what I learned in the past and what I'm learning today. So it's important to ask for those, look at those ancient paths. Where
Absolutely.
Have you come from?
Absolutely. We cannot discard our foundations and our good experiences. And for instance, when we do look back and we look at the way things were done through the generations, we see changes. We see how God is a progressive God. And what came to mind when you were speaking, has to be one of the funniest things that comes to my mind is, you know, the magazines where they have articles of the do's and don'ts of fashion.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they take the time to include the don'ts. I mean, and some of them are chaotic. You look at it and you say, how did they come up with that? But it's so important in that article to see the do's and the don'ts. And you learn from the do's and the don'ts.
Yes.
You know?
Correct.
And so if you apply that, even when we look back and we look at our generations, and we know that, you know, technology has changed and, you know, knowledge, education in a lot of areas of our Christian walk has changed. And we look back at some of our past generations where, you know, they thought praying for 20 hours was really going to bring in and all of these things. And now we have new resources, the internet, we have multimedia, we have all of these new resources. Now, does that mean that they did it wrong? No. It just means that it has progressed.
They did it different.
They did it differently. The styles, you know, the fashion, spiritual fashion has changed, where now we can be effective in different ways. Now, there's things that were done in the past that we can look back and say, maybe they didn't know, but that wasn't correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wasn't correct. Like, for instance, the place that the family has in ministry, the place that family has within the work of God, what priorities that I think as we grow and we mature, we become more educated as to what place does your family have. And that's where looking back in the past, forsaking your past and not looking through the rearview mirror for a very long time, take a glance at what God has done. Enjoy what he has done and use it to strengthen you
okay.
for what for God's propelling you to do.
I really like the example that we're using as far as the rear view mirror, because
mm-hmm.
there's several things that you can take from that. You know, that we're talking about, we're using the word glance. Obviously, the rear view mirror or the side mirrors in your car, they're there for decision-making purposes, and they're there for, obviously, safety purposes. So when you're looking at your rear view mirrors, it's a glance because, obviously, your car is moving forward most of the time unless you're backing up.
Right.
So your attention should mostly be forward. But because we drive in a violent world, whether it's Miami or Dallas.
or LA.
We drive and we live in a violent world.
Right.
We have to be aware to a certain extent of our surroundings.
But well, that's awesome.
But when we, when in life per se, like in the car, there's always, there's these disclaimers, whether it's in our real life, our sinful nature, or in the car itself, you know, it has that little tag that says, you know, things might appear closer than what they really are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you're looking at those rearview mirrors, we have to understand that it's not going to be an exact interpretation of reality. It's going to be an exact interpretation of our reality to what we're seeing at that moment. When you add on top of that the fact that sometimes mirrors could be broken.
Yes.
And then how does that, you know, a change or affect, you know, our perspective of how we look backwards? Because God definitely doesn't condone the fact of looking backwards within itself. If not, he would have never told Israel in the Old Testament at different moments to set up monuments.
Yes.
Those monuments are there.
Yes.
So we can tangibly, in a real way, and that's more than a glance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those monuments, they actually took time to put together and everything else. And you have to look at them to really admire them. So it's more than a glance.
Yeah.
So God does want us to be able to use the past experiences, successes, and maybe even failures as a springboard to move forward. It's just, you know, are we using the rearview mirror to move forward in what God is asking us to do? Or are we using the rearview mirror and backing off of what God is, you know, wanting us to do? Because maybe what we see in that rearview mirror is we're seeing something different to what God sees in us, which obviously is part of.
Wow, that's awesome what you mentioned, that if you're looking through a broken glass, it could be very distorted.
Correct.
And what you're, that is powerful what you just said, how God, there are certain places and monuments. For instance, one of the, a positive example of looking back is when David stands before the giant, Goliath. He stands before him and he's a huge giant, and David immediately brings to mind his past.
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, wait a minute, the same God that was with me back there when I defeated the bear,
correct,
is the same God that's going to be with me today. And the same God that was with me when I defeated the lion. And I'm sure the wrestling with the lion was not like the best experience in the world.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you've ever stood in front of a bear. I have. I thought I was going to pass out. But David had to bring that to mind.
Correct.
And say, that God, the same God that was with me then and gave me the strength and helped me to conquer, I'm taking this giant down.
Correct.
Yeah, and that also happened with the children of Israel.
Absolutely.
If you look at throughout, God said the word remember.
Yes.
Remember comes all along because God provided the manna, the quail. He fed, he took care of them, dressed them, the clothes grew on them.
Correct.
And so we, you know, he kept remembering, because sometimes when we don't remember, we lose perspective too.
Correct.
Absolutely.
For example, I want to bring a personal example. God has done many things in my life in provision, financial provision. And my husband, he lost his job, and we went for a long time with that situation. And it was very hard. And you start thinking, you start focusing on the problem.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay my bills? And just that, you start feeling like you're in that pressure cooker.
Yes.
And start seeing.
La olla de presión.
La olla de presión.
Sí.
And God just was reminding me, look what I have done. Remember what I have done for you. when I provided this, when I provided your house, your car, and all these things. And because that gives you hope. If he did it, he's faithful. It says it, he does not change.
Absolutely.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it just when he reminded me that word, remember what I have done for you.
Right.
I just like, God, forgive me.
Okay. The thing about remembering, o es decir, cuando uno se acuerda, es algo que funciona de dos maneras, porque uno quisiera y uno sabe que Dios funciona en el recordarse de sus pactos. Entonces uno siempre está, viene delante de Dios en base de eso. But it's a two-way street. You know, just as we want God to remember his covenant with us, nos toca a nosotros igualmente recordarnos de el pacto que él tiene con nosotros and what that covenant means. You know, something that I was thinking about now as we're talking about and you were using David example, you know, from 1 Samuel 17. And that's a great example. However, unfortunately, most of us in life, we've lived things where we might have won the battle against the lion, but we might have lost the battle against the bear.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So when you're facing Goliath and your hitting percentage is 50%.
That's a good point.
You feel that
it's an excellent point.
Yeah. And you feel that it's a coin flip. Yeah, because that's David's example. Yeah. But that's not Pastor Holz's example.
Right.
I'm not hitting 100% in life.
Yes. And I'm not hitting 100% in life.
Not me either.
We're like, okay.
So we're not hitting 100% in life. Not that God is swinging and missing.
Right.
It has not... From that perspective, it has nothing to do with God itself, but the reality of our success rate is not beating every lion and beating every bear.
Right.
The reality is that, yes, there are successes that we're building on, but are we able to build on our failures, or are our failures going to hold us back?
And that's where we need to be very selective as to what we glance at in our rearview mirror. Are we going to focus on the times that we were defeated, or we didn't pass a certain test, or we were overwhelmed by something, or are we going to focus on the times that we did get a victory? So we have that choice as well of saying, okay, I'm going to glance at this, you know, not dwell on my failures, not dwell on the many times and the many, many times that I've made a mistake, or the many times that I haven't really done the right thing, or the many times that I haven't really said the right thing. But right now, I think I'm going to look through my rearview mirror and remember how difficult it was, but yet I stood up and did the right thing.
And I think the key word is glance.
Glance.
Are you going to stay stuck looking in the past, or are you just going to glance? And yes, I agree. The failures... so many people that I speak with, they get stuck in the failures.
Yes.
And then in the regrets. Mm-hmm. I should have done this instead of this. And it's important to, say, okay, I failed, but that serves as a base, as a foundation. What did I learn from that failure or that mistake or that thing that did not go right? And I think sometimes we want to sweep it under the rug.
Right.
So it's important tonight to those listeners that are out there listening to us, and we're talking about looking back, the rearview mirror, glancing versus staring or staying stuck, that that it's good to learn from our past. Learn the good things, build on the good things and the things that we've done well, but also learn from the negative things, but say, okay, what can I do to make it different?
Yeah, and even better choices. And one of the things that I was I was actually talking to my daughter about this recently, but trying to disassociate the feelings attached to that. You know, you look at the rearview mirror and you see there's one thing that God cannot do. Like, he can forgive anything, but there's one thing that he cannot do, and it's erase your past.
Right.
I mean, he can't go back and make it like it never happened. He can forgive us. He can cleanse us of our sin. He can make us brand new. But yesterday did happen.
Right.
I mean, no matter how we look at it, it did happen. So we work on trying to manage the emotions that are still attached to that as well.
Right.
And I think I'm jumping forward, but for instance, one of the things that happened to Lot's wife in the book in the Old Testament was that she was moving forward because she was being delivered with Lot and she was going to walk out with him. But there was some emotions that she did not deal with, because when she looked back from where she was coming from, there was a nostalgic. She romanticized her life in Sodom.
Right.
And sometimes there's things that God has delivered us from. There's things that have really brought a lot of pain from way back then. But when you're in a vulnerable situation or you're confronting the unknown, we tend to romanticize what it was like back there.
Well, it's our comfort zone.
There you go.
Because we either, whether good or bad, and this happens a lot, and I know we're switching a little bit the subject, but it's a good example in domestic violence situations.
Yes.
We try to help the person to get out. They know, and they don't need to be there. But when stepping out and going to a shelter, it's a great act of faith. And I had one case that she preferred to go back because it was her comfort zone.
Well, the children of Israel did the same thing.
Yes.
In Egypt, they were crying because they were slaves and because they were eating manna. And I mean, they were slaves. They were bound. And then when God delivers them, they start complaining because they were better off over there because at least they had food. And because they were confronting the unknown. They didn't really know where God was taking them. They knew God delivered them, but it was a challenge now. Now mm-hmm. you're going to make it. Now you're going to find God in a new way. And I think for some of us that have relocated too, it's also a challenge because, you know, when I came to Texas, yes, I knew my way around in California. I had my network of friends. I had my family. You know, you're walking, you're comfortable. You know, you're like, you're all that.
Right.
You know, you think you're all that.
And the bag of chips.
And a bag of chips. And then you get here and you're like, nobody knows your name and nobody knows who you are.
Your best friend is the GPS.
Yeah, your best friend. And you talk to it because you have no one else to talk to. But, you know, in those moments, God shows himself. And you want to look back and say, oh, it was so comfortable there. But, you know, God has a new thing. He's got a new assignment. He's got a new plan. And when we look back, we have to also be very selective mm-hmm. as to how we manage our emotions when we look back and what are we looking back at and is it going to be productive for our future and the new assignment that God has for
Correct.
Us.
Correct. Something that, one example that comes to mind, and maybe we can develop this example a little bit in conversation throughout the night is the example of Joseph. If there's an example in the Bible of somebody that at different segments and seasons of his life, almost at any season of his life, he could have looked back and gotten stuck. He could have looked back yes. and just sulked mm-hmm. or just thrown a pity party or whatever
oh,
else.
Yes.
But when you look at Joseph as an example and, you know, looking to the end of his life and then coming backwards, you see that when he reveals himself to his brothers, he says, you know, he tells them, you don't have to apologize to me because God is the one yeah. who did this to me, or God is the one that brought me through that
allowed it.
Process.
Right.
Yeah, God is one that allowed that. So you see the example of Joseph, somebody that, if you look at scripture, he was definitely more than glancing backwards.
Yes.
Because he confronted or saw or ran into people and things that would remind him
Yes.
of his past on a somewhat regular basis in different circumstances. But he had to make sure his heart always stayed connected with what God was doing with him in the present. So I think that's an example that we can probably develop also throughout the night.
That's an amazing example. And in order for him to get to his assignment, he had to walk through. And that's a difficult thing to understand. And sometimes if you're listening to me, sometimes we don't understand our life. We try to figure it out. But tonight we're talking about forsaking your past here on Cristo the Rock. Stay tuned. Evange Dai here on Cristo the Rock.
Yes. que ya claudicaste. No te tardes, vuelve a levantarte. El camino del mundo es tan ancho y sin tantos dilemas. El camino de Cristo es angosto y con muchos problemas. Pero si eres valiente, al final tendrás la vida eterna. No le des gusto al diablo, ni te importe que diga la gente. Porque fuiste comprado, no con plata, sino con su sangre. Y en un libro tu nombre está escrito con letra imborrable. Nunca mires al hombre, porque el hombre siempre ha de fallarte. En quien tú más confías, con el tiempo puede defraudarte. Porque todo se vende, si todo está en encontrarle el precio. Solo Cristo es tu amigo, Él jamás va a brindarte un desprecio. No le des gusto al diablo, ni te importe que diga la gente. Porque fuiste comprado, no con plata, sino con su sangre. Y en un libro tu nombre está escrito con letra imborrable. Si es que ya claudicaste, no te tardes, vuelve a levantarte.
Cada día oro por ti, para que puedas al camino venir.
Yo sé que estás orando por mí, mamá.
Cada día oro por ti.
Yo lo sé, yo lo sé.
Para que puedas al camino venir.
No, 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 no.
Mamá, abre la puerta, creo que me están siguiendo. Mi corazón se altera, es fuerte lo que estoy sintiendo. Por favor, ponte de pie, no tienes que arrodillarte. Y pon mucha atención a lo que tengo que contarte. Yo sé lo que has sufrido por la vida que he tomado y los tantos dolores de cabeza que te he provocado. Pero no tenía más opción y la necesidad me dijo que en la calle encontraría tu felicidad. Desde niño no te he visto sonriendo. Desde que papá murió te has pasado la vida sufriendo. Y para colmo, como si esto fuera nada, todo se derrumbó con la muerte de mi hermana. Vendió su cuerpo y aquella extraña enfermedad, se llevó su sueño y nos dejó la soledad. Sé que te duele recordar esos detalles, pero eso me obligó a escoger la vida de la calle.
La otra cara del reggaetón.
Cada día oro por ti.
Yo sé que estás orando por mí, mamá.
Para que puedas al camino venir.
Yo lo sé, yo lo sé.
Para que puedas al camino venir.
No, 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 no.
¿Recuerdas aquel suceso del que nunca quise hablar? Te viste sangre en mi ropa y te pusiste a llorar. Aquel tipo que una noche lo encontraron en la esquina. Yo fui quien lo mató, yo fui quien le quitó la vida. Pero no, mamá, no me veas como un asesino. No sé quién intervino, no sé si fue el destino. Yo solo quería quitarle el teléfono celular. Y el arma se me disparó y no lo pude evitar. Antes de salir corriendo, busqué en su bolsillo. Encontré una foto, una bolsita y un cuchillo. Pensé que nadie me había visto, pero no era así. Su hermano me estaba buscando para eliminarme.
estás orando por
para
mí, mamá.
Que puedas al camino venir. Cada día oro por ti.
Yo lo sé, yo lo sé.
Para que puedas al camino venir.
No, 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 no.
Mientras eso sucedía, yo comencé a recordar cada cosa que decías cuando te escuchaba orar. No sé qué pasó, no lo puedo explicar, pero él no me disparó, sino que comenzó a llorar. Yo paralizado vi que ya no me apuntaba. Cuando cayó al piso, dijo que